Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. What else would you expect in 2020? I mean, the Catalinas burning from one end to the other, almost a month of smoke, and now probably the latest start to the sustained summer rains, with temperatures pushing 113 degrees this weekend. Tom, what else?
Well, I mean, that means we're going to have a heat watch in effect, if we don't already, with 107 and 108.
Yeah.
Definitely with 110, 115.
Not good times in Tucson, Arizona. Hello, everybody. It is Tuesday, July the 7th. We're bringing Southern Arizonans together on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Let's go now to our Washington, D.C. contributor, Terry Bracey, whose unique role in representing Tucson interest began with a 10-year stint on the staff of the famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to sub-cabinet by President Carter and subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey, Tucker, and Brown, and has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. Terry, how are you?
Well, we're boiling here too, Bill. But you know, the good news is it's baseball season.
Well, maybe
we've got something to smile about.
Yeah, I still wonder whether it's all going to happen.
Well, let's hope. Let's hope. We got a lot to talk about.
We do. And you have been involved in national politics for many years, going back to really when Mo Udall had a presidential run, and I'm wondering how you're reading the current environment and what do you think will happen in the election?
Well, Bill, in short, I think Trump will be defeated, but more fundamentally, and maybe I'm too optimistic, but I think Trumpism will be broadly rejected by the electorate. You know, amidst all his mistakes and failed policies, the president has doubled down on a message of division and hate. His speech at Mount Rushmore reach back to the days, really, of George Wallace and its racism and division.
Why do you think he took that tone, Terry?
I think he's trying to replay the old Southern strategy successfully employed first by Richard Nixon in 1968 and refined through the years by Republican strategists with diminishing results. Trump has apparently decided his only chance is to stir the fire of the hate as a way to maybe distract from his failures to lead the country during the pandemic and racial reckoning we're going through.
Does that strategy ever work? Has it been effective in the past? There was that, some of us remember that, I think it was Willie Horton, that Willie Horton ad and all of that stuff.
Oh, I do remember that ad, and I was greatly disappointed in George Bush, a man I knew and admired. Bill, when Nixon first used that approach, the American electorate was 90% white. That number is now 69% and falling rapidly. The younger generations, who make up the largest slice of our electorate, are socially progressive on race and sexual orientation and even economic policy. They'll vote heavily against the president, and the president's rhetoric and his performance is increasingly unpopular with older white voters. I'm wondering if we may be witnessing the early stages of a political tsunami.
So will this be, are you saying, maybe an across-the-board big defeat for Republicans? And if it is, you would have to go back to when. When would we have seen something like that?
Probably Goldwater.
Wow.
1964.
Whoa.
To some extent, Reagan in 80. But the conservatives have really controlled policies, when you think about it, since Nixon, with few interruptions. And politics has natural rhythms. The Roosevelt progressive era really finished when President Johnson passed Medicare and civil rights. Trump, I think, has taken the Republicans perhaps into overtime, and maybe the last of that persuasion for many years. The pressure for change, you know, Bill, it builds, and then it just explodes. and huge changes emerge from a single election.
Well, let's look at the House and Senate. What do you think the impact will be on that, Terry?
Well, you know, I've been wrong, but I see both houses going to the Democrats, and some of the structural changes that are soon to be on the table might be the expansion of the Supreme Court, statehood for the District of Columbia, single-payer health insurance, and serious consideration for the first time of some kind of national income guarantee. I'd like to know what Shelley thinks about that. There'll be a compromise on immigration for sure. I can see the court going to 11, the Senate expanded by 2 from the district, which would be Democrats, and in the end, filibuster ending in the first 4 years. But if President Biden will be limited sharply economically by the financial crisis he's going to inherit, I suspect he will have to increase taxes and reduce defense spending, which, frankly, now totals more than the sum of our next 5 competitors, including Russia and China.
Well, it's all very interesting, a lot to digest, but how do you think and what do you think all of this will mean for us here in Arizona?
Well, assuming it happens, and I've been wrong before, my wife constantly reminds me. I think Arizona will prosper as long as it manages its water supply creatively. The state will move, I think, along with the country to a more progressive governance. And instead of being the outliner, Tucson will set the direction of the state with its liberal social values and progressive government. No city in the state has done a better job of managing its water and preserving its environment. The extraordinary rebirth of Tucson's downtown has demonstrated the economic power bill of public-private investment strategies, which I think will be replicated in many ways. Along the line, as Arizona became more and more conservative up there in Phoenix, you have to remember that Phoenix once was called Hayden's Ferry. That was until the federal government built the Salt River Project.
Well, yeah, that's and that building the CAP was a huge undertaking, wasn't it?
The federal government has really made Arizona's economy what it is, Bill, when you think about the investments that have been made in military bases, in infrastructure, and even when I was in government and Assistant Secretary of Transportation, we built Colb Road. We funded a lot of the projects. We funded the freeway to the airport, and so many things in Tucson that people forget all about. But Tucson appreciates the relationship and has done a very good job. And this mayor has done a sparkling job with the federal government.
Terry,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, getting back to the big race here that everybody's been focusing on, the Kelly and the McSally race. McSally's down quite a bit in the polls. How do you see that playing out, Terry Bracey?
My guess, Bill, is it will go the way the state goes in the presidential race. That's usually the case. McSally has proved to be a very strong candidate. She's lost a race, but she's won any number of them. But I think Mark Kelly, if you were to draw up the perfect candidate for the Democrats to put on the ballot, I think that would be Mark Kelly. You know, an astronaut, a guy of tremendous accomplishments, with married to a woman who we all love and with whom we've had to live through a tremendous tragedy.
All right, Terry Bracey, we will talk to you in August. And then, of course, August, we're going to have the two political conventions, which are going to look incredibly different, I guess, than what we've seen in the past. The New York Times yesterday was talking about how very little resources they're putting comparatively the networks are into the coverage this year. So it's going to be very different, Terry.
The COVID conventions, Bill,
yes,
are going to set some kind of new standard.
They will.
I don't know whether it'll be whether better or worse.
I don't know.
But that it'll be new.
Yep. Terry Bracey, take care of yourself. Thank you, Terry, and stay well, okay?
All right. Hello to everybody.
Thank you. Thanks, Terry Bracey, the Buckmaster Show contributor in Washington. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. And coming up next, Shelley Fishman will be with us. And the market today gets a pretty good size thumbs down. We'll find out what that's all about right after this. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio with Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shell, how you doing?
I'm well, Bill. I guess you're doing okay, too.
I'm doing okay.
Now, are you responsible for this heat?
Oh, no. I'm dreaming of those days on the Oregon beach a few days.
Really?
Well, a few weeks. It's been weeks already, where it was like 50-some degrees. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, interesting session with Terry Bracey, who's on once a month on
the
program.
He's so smart.
He is. He kind of laid out some interesting, threw out some very interesting things that if indeed it is a big Democratic sweep, which he believes for November. One of the things he said was there would be serious consideration of some kind of national income guarantee.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because that was a proposal by the candidate Andrew Yang until he dropped out of the race. What we're seeing now with the various stimulus plans that are being proposed, well, are in effect and are being proposed as what are we into, phase five or whatever, yeah, of these stimulus plans, is some guarantee of income. The Republicans are worried, of course, that that could discourage people from going back to work. And the Democrats are proposing the need for everybody to have some sense of security. And it's turning. I don't think we'll see exactly the $2,000 a month that Andrew Yang was proposing, but some idea that the federal government can help bring a minimum level of sustenance to people who need it. I don't think everybody will get it. I think that there'll be some cutoffs, but it doesn't sound as outrageous today as it did when Andrew Yang first proposed it. In fact, this past Sunday in the New York Times, they did an entire section on the economy that we need. And there were seven or eight different subject matters that they talked about, and very consistent with the things that Terry was mentioning, that the economy needs to change. Some changes that need to be made are going to be a little bit painful and perhaps radical to some people's way of thinking. But I would recommend it to our listeners.
As I recall, that was quite a long
it was,
piece.
It was. It's a heavy read.
Yeah.
It really
is something
well
that
worth.
If folks have the times available, and a lot of people do get it, may want to hold that section out. It's good reference.
Right, and it's available online. I think they're making that section available for free.
Oh, okay. Speaking of the times, a lot of people wondering what in the world's going on with the market. And I know we've talked before, the market is forward-looking. And, of course, corona cases have been going up in many states, of course, including Arizona. But why are we having such a strong second quarter?
Yeah, and people who follow the market are kind of scratching their heads and going, there is a certain lack of logic in what the markets are doing, and people are looking for reasons why very smart investors, and very often very large investors, especially trust funds and that kind of thing, are keeping this market propped up. And so the first thing I have to do is, read my recorded announcement that says the stock market is not the economy.
Right.
And those things are not fully divorced, but it's very hard to draw strong lines between the market performance and economic performance, because very often for a period of time, those things will seem to go in different directions, and that's happening right now. But last week, Steve Rattner, who some people may be familiar with, he's a commentator on MSNBC and NBC, but he's also a columnist in the New York Times, wrote an article. It was dated the 3rd, and it's entitled "The Mystery of High Stock Prices," and he takes on this question, trying to kind of noodle out how it is that stocks can be at or near record levels, and yet the economy is, by most experts believe that the economy will have lost probably 3/4 of gains in this year. And we could see in the first, second, and perhaps even the third quarter negative growth in the area of 6 or 7%. And so what he says is, look, let's take a look at the markets. And first of all, markets tend to be optimistic. So that puts, some sort of floor on the market's willingness to take big losses. And we did see a big loss at the beginning of this pandemic, and then it came right back.
Fastest 30% decline in stock prices in history.
And then the quickest 40% increase also since,
wow.
I think,
roller coaster right. Supreme. Yep.
But some other things are causing the market to remain high and maybe even go higher. One is actions by the Fed. the Fed continues to tell everybody who will listen that they will do whatever it takes to prop up the economy. And for people who watch the markets, that is typically very good news for investors. The Fed has kept interest rates essentially at zero for a very long time now, and they will continue to do, to use what Fed Chairman Powell has said, is whatever it takes to make sure that the economy continues to do well.
And that has had a very calming effect.
Absolutely.
On the markets.
But it's also putting a great deal of liquidity into the economy. And when you put liquidity into the economy at those kinds of levels, people will invest that money. Now, this is not to be confused with money that is given to consumers to spend. This is money that, that people who buy bonds and are big players. And so that liquidity is allowing them to prop up market prices. The other thing, and this is really interesting when we talk about low interest rates, today, because the interest that you get in a 10 or 15 or 20 year federal bond or bill or treasury, treasury bond is below 1%, you're actually better off sticking with blue chip companies who are paying 2 or 3 or 4% dividends.
Mm-hmm.
So that is promoting the kind of blue chips to keep them propped up, because quite frankly, that's where cash is going right now. Which says, well, what about the rest of the market? Well, the rest of the market isn't doing too badly, but especially the high-tech sector, which is not badly affected by the pandemic, because people can work from home.
Right.
They can do their work at home. And so what we're seeing is profits in the high-tech sector. Now, there are other things affecting the high-tech sector that are throwing some uncertainty into the game. But for the most part, these companies, and they're mostly in the NASDAQ, can be expected to perform about as they were before. The other thing that's really keeping the economy going, and therefore it's keeping the markets propped up somewhat, is stimulus. Now, we've had a couple of $1 trillion worth of stimulus coming out of Congress. And it's likely, in fact, I think Majority Leader McConnell said today, maybe it was like yesterday afternoon, but it was showing up in today's news, that he believes there will be another stimulus package and that it will happen within the next couple of weeks. So, another $1 trillion or $600 billion, a billion here or there adds up to real money. With that coming back into the economy, that props up consumer spending. And consumer spending, of course, is 70% of where the economy is. And so the companies in the market that are reliant on consumer spending, I think those companies are being propped up that way. So you have the economy, which is seeing very high unemployment and seeing negative growth on one side. That's the economy. But on the other side, you have this opposite force, which is the stock market, which is saying, until we see corporate results, profit results that are reduced and have a propensity to stay that way, we're going to stay, let's call it with this unbridled optimism for a while. Now, you and I have talked of this before. I really believe that at 26,000, the market is overpriced.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be around 23,000. But we'll need to see the profit picture reflect that kind of reality before I think we'll see the market. It'll stay, very volatile. But before it settles somewhere, I think we'll have to see profits that are reflecting economic reality rather than optimism.
I don't think we've ever had a six-month period, though, on the market like this, with this kind of roller coaster.
No. This is, and because the numbers are so high, I mean, we're not talking about a 12,000 market. We're talking about a 26,000 market, so that the daily amounts, which used to seem enormous,
right,
several hundred points in a day, are now, when you take a look at them as a percentage of where those indices are, it's still a 0.5% or 1% on a really big day. You'll get a 2% movement, but that 2% movement is now 600, 700, 800 points.
So investors who have stayed the course through this very volatile 6 months have done okay.
They're doing great. You know, they had a bad February, and the rest of the time they're doing great.
Yeah.
And this is something that we always talk about at the end of our segments, Bill, is that if you're an investor who has a long-term investment outlook, then you ought to keep doing what you're doing, because what we know, not for sure, but judged on history, what we know is that markets will recover and continue to grow. If you're somebody who needs their cash now because you're retired or about to be retired, you ought to be more cautious. But you ought to be more cautious anyway.
Sure.
So there's no real change, I think, in what your strategy ought to be, with the exception of the fact that if you've got some playing room, you might want to hold on to some cash, and then when the market takes one of these big dips, mm-hmm. you know, buy on the lower prices.
Yeah. All right, Shelley, have a great week. Good to see you. Stay well.
You too, Bill.
Thanks. We'll be right back in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, 50 years and still growing, over at 3384 East River Road. If you're looking for anything green, they've got it. Beautiful 13-acre site, amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. And, of course, they're home to Zocalo Village and all that wonderful Talavera pottery, antiques, so much of that beautiful fine art and handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, you name it, they've got it. So Green Things, a destination in itself, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Well, as the COVID-19 pandemic surged across the country, most worship centers in this country were forced to temporarily close their doors and turn to virtual worship, and that includes St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. And on the live line right now from St. Philip's, Father Mark Schultz. Father Mark, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. It's a blessing to be with you today.
Well, thank you very much. Always great to talk with you. U.S. News and World Report senior editor Joseph Williams had a very interesting think piece in the U.S. News and World Report online, talking about the crisis at the intersection of health and faith, creating a paradox of sorts. And as we all know, in times of crisis, like the pandemic, people have a collective anxiety, and many times they do turn to the church and they turn to places of houses of worship. However, those places are not available, but they are available online. And the question remains, Father Mark, whether the pandemic-related closures will hasten the slide of in-person worship. Some of your thoughts, please.
Yeah. Excuse me. I don't know that it will. I read the article in U.S. News. It was really, really wonderful and really fascinating article. I'm bringing up so many fascinating things about how people worship and how crisis brings people very often into reexamining their lives, right? Very often what crisis does is it reveals the seams of the narratives of our lives and where those seams are coming apart. So they're invitations very often to reexamine the stories that we tell ourselves about what means the most, and often, hopefully, leading us to recommit to those things that do mean the most, things like community and love and God and all of these things. I think that virtual community is, I think it is real community. And so there are things about it that need to be celebrated. But I don't think that it is the fullness of community. I think that who we are as human beings, we really need contact with people. We really need to be in the presence of other people. And I think that virtual community and virtual worship serves a current need and certainly opens out into various realities of what it means to be in community. But I think that people will be yearning for a fullness of community, even if that means more work. Interestingly, in the end of the article, Pastor Rachel Cornwell of the Methodist Church sort of wonders whether or not people will be willing to get off the couch and go to worship, particularly if the couch seems more comfortable and even more intimate, right? But I don't think that people yearn for what's easy. I think people yearn for what's fulfilling. And I think that right now, with everything that's going on in the world in various ways, resting might be needful. But I think that people will get very dissatisfied with an attitude of rest towards their lives and will desire something that that the rest is energizing them for. And I think that's community.
I agree with you, and I think there is something that needs to be talked about, and it's widely accepted that faith and health are very much interconnected. And if there was ever a time that health has taken center stage, it is right now. And I think that the whole in-person worship had all sorts of positive health effects that go with it, Father.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I mean, like I said, I think the who we are as people, we're designed for presence and we're designed for community. I think we yearn for touch. We know from various studies from various places around the world. I'm thinking of the case of I was reading an article recently about Romanian orphanages in which the children were never touched except to be examined or except to receive food or to basically for clinical purposes. And the psychological damage that that did to many of the children was not inconsiderable. I think we need human touch. I think we need to be in relationship. I think that fulfills us as people. And we need to feel like we are having a positive impact on the lives of other people as well. To be able to tell a joke to someone and they smile, something as simple as that, that can be incredible. And that can have a great impact, not only on the person who smiles, but on the person who is inviting them to smile.
I think the whole accessibility, Father Mark, of online worship will eventually help churches and other houses of worship increase overall participation, that when this is all over, will pay off in benefits of people coming to community and being back in person.
I think so, too. I really think so as well. I think that one of the things that this is doing is helping get out into the world in a way that people didn't imagine was even possible, although it was available to them. Getting out into the world, what their communities are like, what we preach about, what it is that we celebrate together, how it is that we pray together, and this, of course, is—it's sounding like I'm saying that all of this is good advertising. In some ways, it is, but in the context of the church, it's less good advertising and more a persistent and more visible invitation to interact with this community and to become part of this community. You know, I was reading. One of my favorite authors is a guy named Charles Williams. He was one of the Inklings with J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, and he wrote a book called Descent into Hell. And at one point, one of the characters is leaving a tea party, and she says to everybody, "You know, I don't know why you'd all just don't enjoy yourselves." And the response that someone makes is, "Because after a while, there's very little to enjoy in ourselves." Mm-hmm. And I think that what that says is that what Jesus says when he says to love your neighbor as yourself, right? He's saying not just, you know, share the same sort of love that you have for yourself, share it with your neighbor. He's saying who and what you are is going to be found most fully in your neighbor, in another person. Who you are is going to be most fully revealed in other people. And so love them as yourself, because really they are. And I think that we know that deep down. We live in a culture that very often tries to deny that and tries to return us to ourselves. But we do realize after a while, there's very little to enjoy in ourselves, because who we are really is bound up with our neighbor. The good of our neighbor is our own good. And I think that this is one of the reasons why community is so important, because not only are we called into relationships of love with people around us, but we are called to look after each other. I mean, that's part of what love is. Yes, we're called to give of ourselves to each other.
And we're going to leave it right there, Father Mark Schultz. When I think this is all over, we will probably see a combination at St. Philip's and other places of online and in-person, which I think will have lasting benefits as well. Wouldn't you agree?
I think so too. There are so many people for whom now the lesson is being hammered home that this is their connection, and for mobility reasons or for any other reasons, this is what's needed now. And I don't think it will not be needed in the future. I think that you're absolutely right. We will have a combination of online and in-person worship.
Father Mark Schultz of St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church here in Tucson, thank you. A pleasure as usual, Father.
Likewise. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice candidate interview series continues with Democrat Rex Scott, Pima County supervisorial candidate in District 1. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Let's see how the Buckmaster Show guarantee on Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, being 10 degrees cooler than Tucson is doing. And boy, it holds up very nicely indeed. Let's see. We're expecting a 111 to 113 weekend. It's going to be at least 10 degrees cooler over in Silver City, where it's like 94 right now. And we're going to be pushing, I don't know, up to 107 or something. So anyway, maybe higher, Tom's saying. Anyway, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, it's going to be cooler over there. Looking for a getaway, three-hour drive approximately over to that beautiful area. SouthwestNewMexico.org is their website to get your travel planning going. Rex Scott, Pima County Supervisorial Candidate District 1, he is a Democrat. And he is on the live line right now on our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice candidate series. By the way, there are four candidates over on the Republican side in District 1. We'll hear from each of them tomorrow on the show. But let's go now to Rex Scott. Rex, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing great. It's wonderful to be a guest on your show again. Thanks for the opportunity.
And you're up in cool Flagstaff.
I am. My family and I have not been able to get out of town since the pandemic started, and we drove up here Sunday morning, and we'll be here until tomorrow night.
How is the campaign going, Rex? Why don't you tell our listeners, give us the 30-second elevator speech about a profile of you and why you're running and what you're about.
Well, Bill, this job as a county supervisor is fundamentally a leadership position, and I have 23 years of experience as either an appointed or elected leader, both here in Pima County and in my home state of Ohio. If you take all of the appointed and elected leadership experience of all the other candidates in this race combined. It doesn't equal my 23 years of service to the public. So I am eager to take on the challenge of being a county supervisor, especially at this extraordinary time for county government and the people that we serve, because a lot of the experience that I have with public sector budgeting and overseeing diverse staff as they provide services and supports to their constituents is very much aligned with the previous work that I've done as a leader.
So can a Democrat win in what has traditionally been, Rex Scott, a Republican district? I don't know what the latest numbers show about registrations, but what's your thought on that?
It absolutely can and will happen, Bill. Back in 2016, when the incumbent supervisor was reelected, the Republican Party had a voter registration edge of close to 12,000. As of the last update by the county recorder's office, that voter registration edge is down to less than 3,000. There are right around 53,000 Republicans, 50,000 Democrats, and 38,000 voters who are either independents or members of smaller parties. So District 1 is really, of the five supervisorial districts, the only purple district. And if part of being an elected leader is building relationships, rapport, and trust with the people that you serve, I've already done that during 13 years of my career as a public educator. I was an administrator at two schools in the district for a total of 10 years. I was a teacher at another one for 3 years. So I've already made myself known to thousands of families in the district via the service that I provided to their children. Moreover, if you look back to 2018, there were no less than six Democrats who won their races in District 1. Katie Hobbs, Kathy Hoffman, Sandra Kennedy, Kirsten Sinema, both Congresswoman Kirkpatrick and Congressman O'Halloran, parts of their district are in District 1, and they both won District 1. So I think if you take a look at the voter registration numbers, the fact that I have more credible leadership experience than anybody running, and relationships I've already built through my career as a public school educator in the district, I think not only do I have a great chance of winning, I think I'm the most qualified and credible choice to be the next county supervisor for District 1.
You know, in these incredible pandemic times, I don't think there's ever been a time in an election where name recognition is more important, because let's face it, the elections just aren't getting the coverage that they normally would in an election or a primary year. By having an incumbent, Ally Miller, stepping aside, do you think that helps you because of the name recognition that an incumbent would have some kind of an inherent advantage? Your thoughts, please.
Well, I'll point out that I'm the only one of the six candidates running for this office who declared his candidacy months before Supervisor Miller announced that she was not running for reelection. So I was ready to jump into this race regardless of who my opponent was going to be, even if it was going to be her. But yes, certainly, when you have somebody who has been elected to the office twice, it's certainly a greater advantage to have an open seat as opposed to be running against an incumbent. But frankly, given the level of name recognition and experience that I have, I was not going to be daunted, even if my opponent had turned out to be the incumbent supervisor.
How has that gone with you, having to do virtual campaigning, Rex Scott?
It's gone as well as can be expected, Bill. We had started doing some door-to-door work at the beginning of March because we met our signature gathering goal by the end of February, and we managed to get to over 600 doors by the time we had to suspend personal campaigning in the middle of March. Since then, I have been reaching out to people in my personal and professional networks to get the word about our campaign out. I sign into every Zoom meeting that I hear about for any party, club, or legislative district organization.
I think we might have lost you. Rex Scott with us. We were just about wrapping it up with Rex anyway. I think I had about 10 seconds left for him to give his website, and it is Scott, the numeral 4, supervisor.com. So our interview with Rex Scott kind of lost our cell phone connection, but we are out of time. So actually, if you're going to lose the cell phone connection, it was within about 10 seconds of having to wrap it up. Okay, so tomorrow we'll hear from all four of the Pima County Supervisorial Republicans, Bill Beard, Rhonda Pena, Steve Spain, and Vic Williams. And to be fair, we're just breaking it up, and each is going to get one segment on the show. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, which feels like a Monday because our company observance for the 4th of July was yesterday. So we were off yesterday, so we're back at it live here on KVOI. My thanks to Tom Fairbanks. On the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon. Stay safe, everybody.